Thus one is limited to material life and he suffers for the Exactly. Sometimes due to bodily hunger and thirst, conditions so become so disturbed that he loses his patience, becomes angry with his own beloved son's daughter's wife, thus being unkind to them, he suffers all the more. Purport, Srila Vidyapati Thakur Sam, Tapta Saika De Vayamindu Shama Sutta Mita Ramani Samaji. The happiness of family wife is compared to a drop of water in the desert. No one can be happy in family life. According to the Vedic civilization, we cannot give up the responsibilities of family life. But today, everyone is giving up family life by divorce. This is due to the miserable condition experienced in the family. Sometimes, due to misery, one becomes very hardened towards his affectionate sons, daughters, and wife. This is but part of the blazing fire of the forest of material life. Explain, Sukadeva Goswami can speak in the Parikshit Maharaj. My dear king, sleep is exactly like a python. Those who wander in the forest of material life are always devoured by the python of sleep. Being bitten by this python, they always remain in the darkness of ignorance. They are like dead bodies thrown in a distant forest. Thus, conditioned souls cannot understand what is going on in life. Therefore, material life means being fully absorbed in eating, sleeping, mating, and offending. Utterly, sleep is taken very seriously. While asleep, one completely forgets the object of life and what to do. For spiritual realization, one should try to avoid sleep as much as possible. The Goswamis of Vrindavan particularly did not sleep at all. Of course, they slept some, for the body requires sleep, but they slept only about 2 hours, and sometimes not even that. They always engage in spiritual cultivation, nidrahara, vihara, kadi, vijitao. Following in the footsteps of the Goswamis, we should try to reduce sleeping, eating, making, and defending. In the forest of the material world, the conditioned soul is sometimes bitten by envious enemies, which compared to serpents and other creatures. Through the tricks of the enemy, the conditioned soul falls from its prestigious position. Being anxious, he cannot even sleep properly. He thus becomes more and more unhappy, and he gradually loses his intelligence and consciousness. In that state, he becomes almost perpetually like a blind man who has fallen into a dark well of ignorance. Well, so here we have a continuation of the problems of grihastha life. The various persons ask for money from the grihastha and he has to give it. So that was previously discussed. Now another example is given in terms of the sharp pebbles cutting the feet as one walks up a hill. So that is compared to the expenses that one must suffer in family life due to the various ceremonies, etc., like marriage and upanayana. One is drained of one's hard-earned wealth by social duties. So this may look a little bit not so serious, but we see that actually it is quite prevalent that people do spend huge sums of money for marriages, particularly undue amounts of money, and most of their life savings goes to produce marriages for their children, which is rather, you can say, foolish in one sense. So why do they do that? It is because of this obligation in society. Because they have a position, therefore they have to fulfill that obligation to advertise themselves or whatever by spending all this type of money. So, of course, the whole proposition of marriage itself here is condemned, as we see in the next verses. Better not to get married, but here we have all of the efforts of life going into getting people married. So all of one's money and efforts go in that direction, in spite of the fact that here the Bhagavad Gita is condemning this whole position of marriage. So the system perpetuates itself. because of attachment in the material world. So we may ask why people go through all this trouble. And the answer is they get some pleasure out of all this. So the pleasure is equal to all the effort they put into it. Though it is hard to understand what type of pleasure would produce, how much pleasure one could get from all these activities when one has to work so hard. But nevertheless, people endure all of this as part of life. And in this way, they use up their whole life in all these kinds of efforts. So another example is given here of the python. So the python means sleep. So no matter what we do, we need sleep. And in a material society, people enjoy sleeping. So this, of course, does take up a lot of time. So Prahlad is described in his explanations that we'll spend half of our life sleeping. So this way we waste our life. So from the spiritual point of view, yes, this is factual. Whether one is young or old, people sleep. Now material people, of course, spend more time sleeping. And on the other hand, we find in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna talks about yoga, he says that one has to restrict eating and sleeping, recreation, all these different activities. He doesn't say one eliminates them, but one restricts them to a certain degree. So there's always a danger of excess, just as we cannot stop the eating process, but there's also excessive eating. So therefore, we have to follow some restrictions in all these different activities, bodily functions. So because of the desire for enjoyment in the material world, people don't like these restrictions. We do not like restrictions on eating and sleeping and mating and whatever. They prefer not to have these rules and regulations. This, of course, has its consequences in terms of degeneration of health and morality and waste of so many assets and things in the material world in order to get this type of enjoyment. So that is why the system of yoga restricts these things. Not because they want to torture people, but simply because one must maintain the body properly in order to advance spiritually. So therefore, some restrictions are put on all these different items. In the material world, another, and there is no spiritual goal, so therefore, everyone will question, why do we have to be restricted in all these activities? Let me sleep or eat as much as I want. That is their idea. So that is portrayed here by the idea of the python. The python gobbles up a huge animal and goes to sleep for a few months. So similarly, people like to eat and sleep in the material world. And this way they waste their human life. Not only they waste it, of course, they shorten their life by doing so. So this is another example of what ignorance and foolishness in the material world. Another example is given here of being attacked by different animals. So this is merely showing how different one develops enemies in the material world, because one must compete with other people. So in competition, one makes enemies, and therefore the enemies ultimately will cause harm or problem, difficulties, obstacles to you. So the goal is to enjoy, and if we want to enjoy, we have to restrict somebody else's enjoyment. So this is what competition is in the material world. We compete for enjoyment, and if we get our enjoyment, somebody else does not get their enjoyment. So therefore we create enemies. And then the enemies will attack in different ways. So this is in the forest. Enemies, thieves, animals will attack a person because they're hungry. So, because of this fear of enemies, then the person is full of anxiety. And because they're full of anxiety, they cannot sleep. So in this way, they suffer inevitably in the material world. So this is therefore compared to being in an andapupa, or a blind well. So, and who falls into the blind well? A blind man. So a man who cannot see will stumble around, and then he'll fall into an unused well. So that's called the andapupa, the blind well. So that means he's trapped in this position. So the person in material life is suffering in this way, attacked by enemies, worried and without sleep, cut by his feet by the various thorns and rocks, and devoured by the python, etc. So he's trapped in the material world in this way. And this means he cannot get out. It's a miserable position, but he cannot get out of this position even if he wants to. This is the man in the well. He wants, tries to get out, but he cannot get out. No one hears him. He yells and yells, and no one can hear him. He can't climb out. So, once we're in the forest of the material world, even though we have all of these different types of miseries, which are not compensated sufficiently by the enjoyment, apparently, according to this description, still, we cannot get out. It's very, very difficult to get out of this position. It is possible, there is a solution, but it looks hopeless. And most people would never attempt to get out of this position. So, as I mentioned yesterday, this is a very bleak picture of the material world. And Karma Yoga somewhat compromises this by giving us a promise of some enjoyment. If we follow some rules and regulations, then we get some enjoyment. So we can go to Svargaloka or Brahmaloka or whatever. So that is the pacification. However, in the Bhagavad Gita here, the condemnation is complete. So even if we're in those positions, still it is all part of the andapupa. It is still part of being trapped in this well, because you must suffer death ultimately. Even if you don't go through suffering so much, still you have to suffer death. And one develops material attachments, and therefore one gets another body in the material world, and we continue. If one is in a higher planet, maybe fall down to a lower planet and then suffer in this way here, in a grosser manner. So, even Karma Yoga is not a real solution to the problem. We're not out of the material world, and therefore we're subject to rebirth and falling down into a lower position again, and suffering. So, therefore Karma Yoga really doesn't offer a final solution to the matter. So therefore the Varnashram system ultimately is not considered a real solution to the problem of getting out of the material world. It compromises and helps us live in the material world. So the real solution, of course, is to go beyond this method. And as was mentioned at the very beginning, that was by surrendering to the lotus feet of devotees and the Supreme Lord. That is how we get out of this position.
Mm-hmm.
No, because the star, Earth planet. Because in other higher planets, they're dominantly Sattva-guna. So Varnashram consists of sutras who are Tamaguna and Rajaguna and Sattva-guna people, mixture, so therefore we have different Varnas. So in upper planets, it's all Sattva-guna, so we don't have four Varnas. Lower planets are all Tamasic. So they also don't have four Varnas. In fact, even in Satya-yuga, it is all one Varna also, Sattvic here also. And only as Treta Yuga advances, then they divide up into Varnas. Vedic period, with the Varnashram was not the same as it is, because in Satya Yuga they were all Sattva-guna. So there were not four Varnas. There's only one Varna. So we can't call it Varnashram in that sense. Of course they followed principles, the rules, other rules they followed, but they didn't have the Varnas as we know them, with Sudras, Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, etc. There was one Varna. Well, they're already elevated to Sattva-guna. So all they can do is go for liberation at that stage. Of course, they can go from Svarga-loka up to Brahma-loka by following principles of Sattva and whatever. They can go higher. Better than that, of course, is getting out of the material world. So those on Brahma-loka, for instance, if they're fortunate, then they get out of the material world. From there, the highest planet, then they may go to get liberated or go to Vaikuntha or whatever, depending on the type of worship they do once around Brahma-loka. It begins after in Treta Yuga, the classes begin to divide up at that stage. There, in other words, Satya Yuga is all Sattvic, and then in Treta Yuga, then we begin to get different Sattva Rajatamavad people arising. So therefore, at that stage, then they have to have a system for that. So it becomes more implemented at that stage. Well, it is condemned in places like this, but if we look in the Vedas, it's glorified. It's glorified in the Vedas. For instance, we'll find in the marriage ceremony so many mantras from the Vedas, have 10 sons, prosper for 100 years, and all these sorts of things. So, generally, we'll find in the Vedas, household life is glorified more than anything else. Of course, we can say that's the karma kind of section, whatever. And then in the Jnana-kanda section, we'll have renunciation of the material world and rejection of the karma-kanda. But parts of the Veda will glorify household life and whatever, all that. And in general, we'll find that the kings are acting on behalf of the people in general who don't renounce. So they are householders. So mainly he's dealing with a household population of sudras, Vaishyas and Kshatriyas, and even Brahmins. So, even the Brahmins we see, even though they're the most renowned, still the culture is they all get married and have families and do this and whatever, etc. So, the condemnation of family life will only come about in extreme cases, like we see here with Judd Barak giving this example here. We will not find this extreme condemnation in other places in the Bhagavatam. even when Prahlad speaks, he doesn't really condemn it. He just describes all the ashramas and all the varnas. And similarly, Krishna to Uddhava simply describes all the varnas and all the ashramas and all the duties. He doesn't condemn the household ashram particularly. He doesn't do that. So we will get extreme cases for the purpose of rejecting material enjoyment and going for higher principles. So to do that, sometimes there are extreme examples like this where household life is rejected completely. Yeah, that is why we don't emphasize renunciation either. Rather, we have yukta vairagya. So in the process of bhakti, if we emphasize the renunciation, then we tend towards liberation. And liberation ultimately becomes unfavorable for bhakti. So therefore, we don't overemphasize the vairagya renunciation aspect. They're not competing because Krishna satisfies everybody completely. No. Well, everybody does service and Krishna responds to everybody completely, so there's no competition. In the material world, people compete because they all want the same thing and only one person wins. Everybody else loses. So the people that lose become enemies of the person that wins. Because they don't get the money, they don't get whatever. But it's not like that in the spiritual world because the Krishna satisfies everybody completely.
Four, and they 3.